a bunch of then it just me. They came close and it just skeet. They tried to run and I said, come back if you think you're alone, then now Bobby Womack. Hold that, riding that Phantom down, oh, now. Say, what up, pimp, what a hoe?
I'm just living, baby, and you got that right. I'm just living, baby, I'm enjoy this night. I'm just living, baby, I'm just living. I'm just living, baby, I'm just living.
Ride around on my side of town, you might fuck around and get peeled. I rock Mookie, rock Y3, got baby names in my heels. This ain't no game, there ain't no competition. I knew he was a fake, I good intuition. 23 and I'm still living. Been all around the
world. Hey guys, you're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And our special guest today, Josh Ramirez, my roommate and my teammate on the basketball team. How you doing, man? How's your weekend?
I'm doing good. Just worked all weekend, so I'm pretty tired.
Getting back into Monday vibes, so enjoying it.
Enjoying it?
Yeah.
That's cool. This past weekend, the first round of the NBA playoffs has begun.
Yeah, some big games happened.
Some very big games. But before we get into that, I actually want to talk a little bit about Kobe's last game and his farewell retirement.
It's crazy.
Man, isn't it crazy? Your childhood, well, my childhood hero. I don't know if he was your childhood hero, but he was my childhood hero. And, you know, he finally retired, but, you know, he went out with a bang, though.
Crazy, crazy bang. 60 points?
Yeah, he went off for 60 points, going 22 for 50 from the field. He did take 50 shots, but, I mean.
It was pretty efficient, though. I mean, people were bagging on him for taking 50 shots, but 22 for 50s.
That's I think that's 44%.
That's pretty hard. That's pretty hard to do.
That is actually pretty hard to do.
You know, you give someone 50 shots, I don't know. He wasn't just casting away. I mean, he started the game like 0 for 4, I think.
Yeah, he did. And then he made like 4 straight in a row.
Yeah, so, you know, it's definitely not something easy to be done. But it was cool to see him do that, especially being a mentor to so many guys, not only to us, but like inside the league.
He mentored a lot of players in the league. Like a lot of players in the league look up to him, even LeBron.
Yeah. So the best players in the league looking up to him kind of shows his status quo and who he really was in the NBA. It was cool to watch that kind of experience. Like you said, watching him as a young kid doing that, and then He's still, I don't know how old he is exactly.
37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing that still, you know. So it was crazy to see, and, you know, great performance. One of the best games I've probably seen in a while since, you know.
Since the old Kobe.
Since the old Kobe in the finals, you know, against the Nets and the Pistons. So.
Yeah, he was definitely looking like the old Kobe's last game.
Yeah, that was neat to see. It was definitely an enjoyable game.
Yeah, and he went out the right way too.
Yeah, definitely. No player has ever scored like 30 points, and he to double that. That's a statement right there.
It is, and he's really literally the reason why I picked up a basketball.
Like, yeah.
And when you also think about it, he was in the league for 20 years. Like that was literally like basically our life. You know.
Yeah, that's so, a lifetime.
It's just crazy, like, how fast, you know, time literally flies. It's just crazy.
Yeah. He's been in the league longer than he's been living, so that's the crazy part, too. 20 years and then 17 years out of the league, outside of the
league. That's true. I never even thought of that. That's true.
So he's a real professional and someone who's been in the game. That's crazy, though, 20 years. 20 years in, that's
20 years on the franchise, on the team, just in the league in general, just, yeah.
And not trading teams either, like staying with the same team. You don't see rarely anybody in any sport do that. A lot of people comparing him to Derek Jeter just because he's stuck with that franchise. You see guys trading all the time, you know, with LeBron and all these big-name players, James Harden, but – you know, that's crazy to stay with the same team and be successful for so many years and still have down years, but so many high years.
And I think he's the only player to do that, stay on a franchise for like 20 years, I think, in the league. Plus.
In the NBA, yeah, maybe. Hey, I wouldn't doubt it because that's a very long time.
Very, very long time. But, yeah, very sad. Kobe went out. I'm gonna miss him. I don't know if the league's going to be the same anymore, you know. Like, it's just crazy thinking about, like, the NBA, you know, without Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's definitely going to still have his face around for a little bit. And he's going to be chilling for the next year or two. I think then he's going to really start missing it and stuff. But it's weird to see where the Lakers are going to go to without Kobe. You know, they get so much money without, you know, him leaving. A lot of cap room. So they're clearing up some cap room. And that should be interesting to see what they do. Because, you know, they do have some players, Julius Randle, Russell, Clark. So they have some factors. But they weren't really successful this year and had a bad year, and you know, it's cool to see Kobe going out and everything, and that definitely helped them with ticket sales towards the end of the year, I could say that. But it's interesting to see what their next steps will be in the off season coming up and who they're gonna sign. I don't know any free agent names off the top of my head, but that's gonna be neat to see who they pick up. D'Angelo Russell, you know, has been a kind of a not a team favorite past week or so due to off-court issues, but I want to know what they're doing.
I do too. I think we're about to have a call-in very soon.
Who's that?
One of my friends back home who is a diehard Laker fan, knows all the info about the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to call in pretty soon and express how he feels about Kobe retiring. He's a huge Kobe fan too. But, Kobe's – I just still can't believe, you know, it just feels so surreal. Like, he's really gone out the league. Like, it's not going to hit me until next season, when next season starts.
And he's not playing.
All right, we have a call in coming from my friend. Casey, hello. Oh, I'm tripping. Hello, Casey.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, what's good, bro? How you doing, bro? Say what's up to everybody. It's my friend Casey calling in.
How you doing, man?
You doing?
And my roommate Josh. You met him in at Cal Baptist. He's on the air too.
So. Yeah.
All right, so right now, Casey, we're talking about Kobe retiring, man. His last game and his farewell retirement. How do you feel about him? You know, like going out with 60 points and everything, and him just retiring. You know, how you feel about that?
Man, that's probably one of my favorite Kobe moments I've ever seen. I've ever watched. You know, before it was game one. You know, the stuff might be fun. That game. Nobody expected him to drop 60. I didn't expect him to drop 60.
Yeah. I didn't expect him
when he missed
drop
his first
60.
High shots, I was like, well, it's going to be a long night. But he went 22 for 50, which is not bad. That's 44%. So
yeah,
it was
just
a great game.
Talking about that. Yeah, it was a great game, and I had to get you on the air because I know you're a diehard Kobe fan and Laker fan, so
yeah.
I had to ask, you know. I had to ask you and see how you felt about that. But you think that, like, he went out the right way, you know?
Perfect ending. You know, we're not contending for the championship right now, but you couldn't write a script better than that.
Yeah, that's true. You really can't. That's really true. And I don't know. It's just crazy just how fast time flies, you know? Because was literally our whole childhood.
I grew up watching this too, you know? You know, coming back from middle school, going rushing to the TV to go watch this dude. Yeah,
I know, right?
So now the Lakers got to find a new person who can, you know, a new star who can be watching on that.
Who do you like? What do you think is going to happen? Like, you think that since they got this,
all I
this
think
money,
this summer, they're going to try to go after Kevin Durant, of course. You know, that one's a long shot.
Yeah, that's a long shot though.
The one person I think that actually may come is, I think it's DeMar DeRozan. I think he's a free agent. Yeah. I think he's going to come to L.A.
You think so? I mean, yeah, I honestly hope he does.
Rumors came out today. Stephen A. Smith said that that's, he's just waiting for Toronto to get out to playoffs. He said once, he said this summer he thinks that DeRozan is going to walk into L.A. He's just going to come to L.A. You know, he's from L.A. So.
Yeah, he's from L.A. It just depends how they do in the playoffs. Right now it doesn't look like they're doing they're going to do too well because they just lost. But hopefully they do something. And if not, you know, we pick up DeMar because that would be a great pickup. We just need a big – just one big superstar and, like, a few role players.
Yeah.
And the Lakers will be fine in a few years.
Maybe get Westbrook 2017.
Westbrook?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you say we're trying to go after KD. I don't know if they're going to try to go after Westbrook, too. But we're going to try. But, yeah. I appreciate you calling in on the radio show, bro. It's always good to hear from you.
No problem.
Yeah. All right, bro. You have a good one, man. I'll see you next month, man. I'll be home sooner than you know it. All right, bro. All right, we're going to take a little break right now. Up next, we're going to talk about how Curry made history by making 402 threes in a season. We'll be right back. This is DJ Slim on Above the Rim. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back.
Nothing, I was hungry. Now I got a couple on me. But I don't wanna be your homie. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. God, I don't wanna be your homie. All I wanna do is count commas. Count, I had to make a couple bands for the come up. Got kicked out the house, I had no option. Mama. I was going through it with my mama. Jugging and finessing, had to play it raw. Smoke, dodging feds, cause my head hard. Damn. When I dropped out, I said, fuck all of y'all. Imagine pulling up to your school in the best car. Gone. I was born in 94, I got the tattoo. 94. Just took his, that's what that cash do. If you went from broke to rich quick, you would brag too. I'm sorry I finessed you, watch your money, but I had to. Started out with nothing, I was hungry. Now I got a couple niggas on me. But I don't wanna be your homie. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. Couple bands by my lonely. God, I don't wanna be your homie. Ha 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 ha. You mad or nah? Don't want wall. Them things gon' ride on.
pockets is on large. I'm swimming in the guap. I got gold all on my watch. My belt costs one of your checks. I'm throwing all this money like bread. I know it make it girls so. I know the upset. I'm winning, you lose. That's your fault, should never snooze. You broke, never make no moves. I be making movies, no Tom Cruise. Started out with nothing, I was hungry. Now I got a couple n****s on me. I don't wanna be your homie. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I don't wanna be your homie. By my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. MCTM2.
And we're back here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. We have special guest Josh Ramirez in the house, and also special guest who came late, Armand Shearzad.
Woohoo! What's good, Rev?
Man, how you doing, bro?
Just thank God another day on this beautiful planet. You know.
I know, man. For real, we thank God every day, man.
Every day.
So, Armand, your favorite team is the Warriors, right?
For sure.
All right, cool. So you're gonna love what we're finna get into right now. We're gonna talk about how Curry made history. He hit 402 threes this last season before anyone else could even hit 300 threes in a season.
He's incredible.
He's just, man. It's just like words can't even just describe this guy, you know. He only needed like 8 threes against Memphis to set the record, and then he hit 10 in the game. Like, how do you even hit 10 in one game?
Not even many people hit 10 threes in one game.
In one game. Like, I didn't even hit 10 threes the whole season. I think I only hit like 6 threes in the whole season.
Work
you know
on
what
your
saying?
Shot then, bro. Come on.
And this guy makes 10 in the game. 10 in the whole game. Bro, that's why I'm heading to the gym after this, but I'm trying. But no other player in league history has even hit 300 threes in a season, yeah, which is like, and he hit 400.
Beyond 400.
It's just like.
And that's him not playing a majority of the fourth quarters of most games where they were blowing out other teams.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's just.
He probably would have had around 450 if he played all the fourth quarters.
Yeah, 450. He might even have more. Who knows? Who knows? And he broke his own record last season with like 242, I believe. That's what the number was, 242. And he almost doubled that in the next season after that. So
that's crazy. I'm not sure the stat. Don't quote me on this one, but I'm pretty sure he made more threes than like half the teams in the NBA. Yeah. Like their totals.
I'm pretty sure he did, but like I said, yeah, I don't know what word to really like. Describe him with, because he's just unreal.
Does that make him the best shooter of all time? That alone?
In my opinion, yes.
I mean, if you're talking about all the shooters, you're talking about Ray Allen, Reggie Miller,
Dennis Scott, he did kill
Ray Allen's record. But I'm saying all these top shooters that were in the league, like this guy just shattered all their records. You know what I'm saying? Like he just made it look like it's just too easy. Like he's doing it in his sleep. So I don't.
And he still shot over 40% from 3-point range.
Yeah. He made the 50-40-90. That club, the 50-40-90 club, where you go 50% field goals, 40% threes, 90 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Only a few people even make that club. Like KD made it like for 2 years or a year. I don't remember, but. Did Kobe didn't even make it. Kobe, Bron, like none of them didn't make it. Just Curry and KD.
Kobe shot 50% from the field.
Nah, he never did. He never did. But yeah, that's what I'm saying though. Like he's just like he's shooting a great percentage and just I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know.
We're not gonna see another player like him for a while.
We might not ever see a player like him again. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean.
His shooting is just really, just off the roof. So I feel like from what you said, Josh, I think he might be the best shooter of all time. It's still a little early to say, but he might be for sure.
Ray Allen's shots are like set shots. He's a spot up shooter. That's gonna
Steph can create his own shot.
Yeah,
he'd be making half court shots.
Like unconsciously,
like
that one against the Thunder, that one was ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense to me because he's just shooting a better percentage 10 feet beyond the arc than he is a foot behind the arc.
So does that make him unguardable in a sense?
I think you could definitely throw him off his game, you know, be a little physical with him like Patrick Beverley was.
I mean, that still didn't really throw him off his game, though.
No, he was still killing it game, when he wasn't injured.
That might make him unguardable. I mean, you could be physical with him and get him maybe to turn it over a little bit because he is a little bit turnover prone.
Yeah, a little bit.
But that's just because he's so loose with the ball, and that's he does create his shots because he's loose with it. So it allows him to create more when he is. But I don't know if it makes him I don't know. That's tough to say if he's unguardable.
Being a Warriors fan, I watched a large majority of the games this year, and I noticed that, I mean, he's not only a shooter. Like, he can get to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's business.
Finish. He's actually a solid finisher,
too.
He is
a solid finisher for
a point
guard.
A good finisher.
Size, yeah.
So, even though I'm not that big of a fan of Steph Curry, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't hate the guy, but he's not my favorite PG. My favorite PG is Westbrook, but that's besides the fact. Curry, I feel like, is definitely, you can say he's unguardable. You can definitely say he's unguardable. Unguardable. Like, he can shoot the three. You have to, like, even if you put a hand in his face, it's still going to go in. If you make him drive, I mean, he has handles. He's going to get to the rack, do his little floater. Money every time. It's like.
Or that live high layup he does. That shit's crazy.
But, yeah, and then he has player. He has Klay Thompson on his team, who, if you leave him open, wet ball.
Draymond, I think he made 200 threes this year, too.
He actually made 300, I think.
Klay?
I think Klay made three. I'm not even sure.
Man.
I'm not even sure how much Klay made, but we can actually look that up right now. How much you say you think he made?
He definitely made 200.
Yeah. He definitely made 200, but I think he got to the 300 mark. I see. I looked that up right now. But yeah, man, you're totally right about him with the floater and everything, and it's just the team that he's around to. His team is just the Warriors. Like, I don't know. Do you think that they're gonna win another championship this year?
All signs point to it. As long as we stay healthy, you know, I really don't see anyone stopping us.
Not even the Spurs.
I mean, it's going to be an amazing series.
I feel like the Spurs.
Seven game series.
The Spurs series is going to be great.
Hopefully,
the
Spurs don't choke.
Nah.
It's gonna be great to watch.
They just have to hope that none of them get injured. Hopefully, because
what happened with Steph?
Klay made 276.
Wow. Steph tweaked his ankle last night.
How bad was that?
It wasn't too bad, was it?
It was a roll. He didn't practice yesterday, though, so he's doubtful for today. I think, honestly, the Warriors would be best resting him today, in my opinion.
Yeah, they don't really
playing at home.
And you guys are playing the Rockets, who don't have no defense, and y'all blew them out. I feel like y'all should rest him, but Curry might not rest.
Oh, and he missed shoot-around, too.
It says, Golden State Warriors guard Stephen Curry still questionable, gets ankle treated during practice. Okay. So he's questionable for tonight.
Maybe start him. Maybe play him like 15 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Just let him get a little run out there.
Limit his time. Cause
Beverly messed up. He got him hyped up. He shouldn't have got him hyped up.
Yeah, like he's trying to.
His face and he's trying to be physical, which I understand that. And that's the point you have to go to. But he got him kind of pissed off. And
I really dislike Patrick Beverly.
Yeah.
Why? Because of what he did?
I feel like he does a little too much, you know. He's extra.
No, that's.
I like that though.
I feel like that's.
I love
just
that.
I mean,
couple
you,
years
you'd
ago,
love to play with him.
A couple years ago, when Westbrook got injured, you don't think that it was his fault?
It actually kind of was his fault. I was actually thinking about that right now. That's the only reason why I don't really like Patrick Beverley like that. But I like how, like, you know, like what he did to Curry. I like that. Like, yeah, just because you're Curry don't mean nothing. Like, I'm about to steal this bar from you and punk you.
It's just like his game is very similar, like Dellavedova. You know, they're both hard nosed players. They're gonna go for everything. Yeah. I like it though.
You like those guys on your team, but you hate when you're playing against.
Yeah, exactly. You hate playing against them, but you love them on your team though.
So it's I kind of like his game, and I saw the tactic, you know, that he tried to use, trying to annoy him a little bit. But that just kind of fired up Draymond Green, you know, other players on his team, and that just kind of backfired to Curry or to himself after doing that to Curry. I just don't feel like it was a smart decision by him.
You don't think that was smart?
No.
I think it was smart because I would do the same thing because that helps fuel my energy too.
I heard that, Rev.
Yeah, but. I wouldn't want to play the Warriors when they're hot. I would want to play them when they're cold and try to get them turn over the ball and instead of just fire off all cylinders.
That's true, but Patrick Beverley is very hard-nosed, and that's just...
Yeah, you can't change that.
Yeah, you can't change that. That's just how he is, and I like it because, yeah, it just shows him, you know, he's not scared to guard you. Like, he's going to be up all up in you. He's just trying to be annoying. He's just trying to get in your head, you know. He's one of those people.
Yeah.
And I like that. But then again, it, like Josh said, it does backfire because it gets the whole team fired up. And then you don't want to do that with the Warriors.
Cause yeah. They don't need any extra motivation.
when they get going, man, they're just hard to stop.
And then when Oracle starts getting loud, you know, it's just like.
Yeah, and then everybody's, you know, Steph starts getting off shooting his threes, Klay start getting off, Draymond start passing and doing, you know, it's just like a cycle. It just keeps going.
So what do you guys think about KD coming to Golden State?
You think it's going to happen?
No, that's not happening. That's not happening.
All signs point to it, but I mean, he said he does not mind coming to Golden State.
So who are you going to give up in Golden State for KD?
So they said they would have to let go of Barnes,
yep,
Iguodala, and Bogut in order to accompany his salary. And I don't mind Festus Ezeli as a starting center. He's nice. Like, he's
solid.
Y'all can give up Bogut, though?
They're all those three on their contract years this year.
I would be...
They could all walk.
The only person I would be scared of giving up is Barnes.
And he's so young.
KD makes that up. I mean, Ezeli is nice.
You can give up Barnes because Barnes will definitely go to a team and like a weak team and serve.
Oh, he will serve.
He will go there and serve.
He's gonna do nice.
I can imagine him going to a team like Portland maybe.
Portland? Mm-hmm. Serving with Dame?
I would like that.
That would be a good fit for him. Yeah. I feel like him at the three, he'll take basically a Minu spot and play that. Yeah, that would be nice. Him, McCollum. But If you give a Bogut though, and you just I feel like they shouldn't give a Bogut because Bogut plays a big role on their team.
He really does. His role is
he plays a huge role.
Yeah, people overlook him all the time, but
it might not look that big of a role, but he plays a huge role on their team. So that's going to be a big loss. But if you gain KD with just those three players though, then actually, it kind of cancels out. So it just depends.
But I don't think I would want Kevin Durant to come to the Warriors just because I think he would mess up the chemistry of the team, you know?
Yeah, I could see him doing that.
They already have our big three with Klay, Steph, and Draymond, so it's just like, why add another superstar, you know? KD wants the ball in his hands at all the time, and we like Steph with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know.
Yeah, that just wouldn't work. Like, if KD wanted to fit in that system, he would have to change his game up a lot. Like, he would basically kind of be like,
shooter.
Yeah, basically like
mid-range.
A spot-up shooter, and then like every now and then do his one-on-one stuff. But, you know, Steph always has the ball in his hands. He's going to do him. So I don't know if KD would want to do that because his role would change dramatically. So
I like the idea of getting rid of Bogut and picking up Hassan Whiteside, you know.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
And then Hassan Whiteside start?
Oh, my God, that would be crazy.
And then Ezeli off the bench?
Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
I think Ezeli gets one more year and then he becomes a starter. So maybe they'll sign Bogut to like a 1-year deal. Because Ezeli's starting to look really, really good. If he can stay healthy, man.
He's starting to get nice too. Everybody in the Warriors is looking good. All the new players. I'm sorry, I just got a text message. So sorry.
Yeah, how you guys feel about the Heat coming out of the East? What do you think is going to come out the East?
I don't know. After watching the Cavs versus the Pistons, I don't know if I can trust them.
The Pistons are very underrated, super underrated. I'm actually a big fan of the Pistons.
I think the East was a bit better than the West this year. If you take away the Spurs and Warriors, like
I was making that argument too, and people were looking at me crazy.
I think it was a lot more even. It was a lot more even and more competitive. Yeah, and I think that's what we want in the NBA. We don't want. Come on, like, who wants to watch the Grizzlies get beat by 40 points?
I know. Yeah. The Grizzlies are actually pretty bad. I don't know how they made the playoffs.
Well, they've had a lot of injuries. Yeah, Marc Gasol's down. Conley's down. Gone.
Yeah, they had a lot. They made a lot of trades. They don't have Jeff Green no more. No more Courtney Lee. It's just basically Zach Randolph.
Yeah, but they kind of took the place of the Pelicans. You know, I thought the Pelicans were for sure going to make the playoffs this year.
Hey, Anthony Davis, man, got injured. When you lose your superstar, it's like, man.
Nah, but out of the East, my sleeper team out of the East is Boston.
Yeah.
I really like Boston.
A lot of people like the Hornets, too. See, they're tough from top to bottom.
I like the Hornets, too.
Yeah. Like, even Toronto.
Kemba Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul George took care of
them. Yeah, Paul George really did take care of them.
Yeah.
They play today.
Yeah, we can actually talk about the scores in case you guys didn't get a chance to watch the playoffs. On Saturday, the Pacers defeated the Raptors 100-90. The Hawks defeated the Celtics 102-101. So that's how you know these were some good games this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
The Warriors blew out the Rockets 104-78. That's expected. Mm-hmm. The Warriors are basically probably going to sweep them, huh? You think so?
Yeah, they're probably going to sweep them.
And then
the Thunder, too.
OKC, they blew out the Mavs 108-70. That might be a sweep, but I don't want Dirk to go out like that. Like he at least needs to get one, you know. The Mavs are always a playoff team, but
they make the playoffs every year.
But they don't perform at all when they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, they had that one run where they beat Heat. They were on fire that
year. They got hot.
They were on fire. They were not getting stopped that year by nobody.
Nah, but yeah, I really like that that Boston-Atlanta series. I think that's the best series of the first round.
Yeah, the Boston-Atlanta, 102-101. Yeah,
it was a back-and-forth game. Like, and Isaiah Thomas is nice. Like, he's one of my favorite point guards.
In the league right
now? Yeah, for sure.
In the East, he's probably like, what do you think in the East is? Probably like the second guard. Who are the top guards in the East?
I think Kyle Lowry's the best point guard
in the East, number one?
Sure. Yeah.
You don't think Irving is?
I don't know, man.
You think Irving
looks a little off right now. He looks a little off to me. He doesn't look 100%. I'm watching that game. I don't know.
Yesterday, I mean, he still had like 31, but
he scored 31?
Yeah, but he put up like 20-something shots. But he went like 9-for-something from the field or something like that.
Okay, okay.
That's not too bad. But, yeah, he made 31. I feel like Irving is definitely number one. And then
you'll take Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, I'll take Lowry. Lowry definitely deserves it. He was an all-star this year, and he was cooking this year.
There are for sure some good point guards in the East, though. In the Hornets, Kemba Walker, he came into his own this year. He had a really good year.
Yeah, Kemba Walker is a great pickup, actually. He was, like, the number 11th pick out of UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Great pickup. I don't think anyone thought he was going to be, like, this dominant in the league.
I really think the point guard position is the best position in the NBA right now. If you go from top to bottom, I think that on every team the point guard is among the best players.
Yeah.
Like the Pistons, Reggie Jackson. Oof.
Big fan of Reggie Jackson.
Great player.
Were you watching that game actually? Oh, but before we actually get into that, I didn't even finish off the scores. On Sunday, the Cavs beat the Pistons 106-101. The Spurs beat the Grizzlies 106-74. The Heat beat the Hornets 123-91, and the Clippers defeated the Trailblazers 115-95.
A lot of blowouts.
It was a lot of blowouts actually on Sunday.
For the playoffs, you expect grinded out tough games, but I mean, I guess these aren't really good matchups, you know?
I mean, if you're playing the Spurs, of course, that's going to be a hard matchup every time. If you play the Warriors, of course, it's going to be hard, but all the other teams I feel like are going to be close series.
Clippers looked nice last night, though.
Yeah, with Blake back, yeah. They're looking really good. They're looking really good. I'm liking them a lot. The thing about the Clippers is they always like get far.
Last year, I really thought it was going to be a Warriors-Clippers conference finals, and I think that would have been intense.
Last year was a big disappointment.
that they lost.
Did the Clippers, weren't they up like 3-1 on the Rockets? Yep. Yeah, and then they lost every single game.
Yep. They just like threw away the series. It was just bad. A monumental collapse.
I don't think has that even happened in NBA history. I think that was like the first time that happened or something like that. Yeah, what a shame. After didn't they beat the Spurs?
Yeah, everyone thought when they beat the Spurs that they were the real deal. But, you know, I still think they're the best team in LA right now, Rev. I'm sorry.
I mean, I feel like everyone knows that in LA for sure. Of course, they're the best team in LA right now. But who has the most rings, though? Who's the most championships in LA?
All right. Fair. You're fair.
But let's see if they make at least the conference finals. Because I'm not gonna say I'm a big fan of the Clippers, but I like their team. I feel like in the NBA, the Clippers team has probably the most talent on one team. Like, they are very talented from like top to bottom. I'm talking about what they got: Chris Paul. Who else off the bench? You got Jamal Crawford. You got
Jeff Green.
You got Paul Pierce.
They have a really good team.
You got one of the best bigs in the league, DeAndre Jordan, who's 70% field goal percentage. You got Blake Griffin. You got J.J. Redick, one of the best shooters probably after Curry and Steph. Clay and Steph, I'm sorry. Yeah. Who else you got on that team? I'm trying to think of another big name on that team. But that's besides the point. But you get the point, though. They have, like, talent just from top to bottom. And – like they're still not like really a force to be reckoned with, and I don't know why that is.
I don't fear the Clippers at all.
You don't fear them.
The one team out of the West besides the Spurs though is them Thunder.
Oklahoma that you fear?
Yeah, I really think Oklahoma City would give the Warriors a tough time. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, of course they would, because you got KD and Westbrook, and you know Steph is not gonna guard Westbrook. They're gonna probably put
Clay on him.
And then put Draymond on KD.
KD, yeah.
But the thing is, who's going to guard Steph? Westbrook?
Yeah, Westbrook.
I mean, yeah. Westbrook could deal with him, but, I mean, it's hard to guard Curry is what I'm saying. I'm not saying Westbrook can't guard him. It's hard.
Like, even when Steph has a bad game, he's still going to score in, like, 17, 18 points. Like,
And, like, a few assists, and, you know, yeah, he's going and.
If he doesn't have his shot going, he knows it, and he knows when to distribute.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing about the Warriors, man. They're team chemistry. And I feel like that's just because, you know, they've played each other for about, 6 years now, all together on the same team?
Well, this exact team was brought together last year. But the core, yeah, they've been
like
together
Draymond,
for a while.
Draymond, Clay, Steph, like, yeah, they've been together years. For, like, yeah. 5 years.
I think that really helps with the development of a team.
Mm-hmm. Team came,
like if you look at the Spurs, look at that. They've been together for 20 years with Popovich there and make the playoffs every time.
Mm-hmm. And Popovich is just a smart coach, too. People don't even
I think he's the best coach in professional sports.
He actually might be. They were saying something about him. I forgot what they were saying last night on SportsCenter about him. They were saying something about him being with, like, coaching for – I don't remember. But yeah, he's a great coach. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like, he rests his players, you know, in practice. They work on stuff that, like, is gonna translate over to the game.
Yeah.
Like, switching screens all the time. Like, if they're about to play the Warriors, you know, they know switch screens on Steph and Clay and make them drive. You know, don't even let them shoot. Just make them drive.
Right.
Because their shot is that potent to, like, where, you know. If you give them any little room, it's wet ball. So you just got to make them drive.
And that goes for not only the starters with Steph, Clay, and Harrison, because we got some great shooters on the bench. Brandon Rush, he really came into his own this year, and he had a great year after not having such a great year the season before.
And Ian Clark off the bench.
Ian Clark's another solid player. Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston is a very important player.
Yeah, he's an X factor.
He really is an X factor. He comes in, he gives Curry a rest, and he still runs the team.
He posts.
He has that mid range.
He just posts up their point guard because he's so much.
Yeah, because he's so tall. But I, the reason why I don't like Sean Livingston is because he can't shoot. I used to be a big fan of him when he was drafted on the Clippers and stuff. But I don't know. He doesn't seem all that.
He's
nice
not all
to
that
anymore.
And then Mo Spates.
I don't like most Spates.
I don't really like most Spates either.
He's a great shooter, though, for a big man.
Yeah, he's just a shooter, and he's a big. You're not supposed to be a shooter if you're big. You're supposed to be a...
He's like a 6'10 shooting guard.
He's supposed to be a big, banging down there with some post moves, not just a shooter.
He gets so hyped, too.
Yeah, he gets so hyped off every little shot.
Hey, man. I mean, he's happy.
I'm not hating on him. I'm not hating on him at all. I'm just saying I'm not that big of a fan of most Spates. And also, I'm not that big of a fan of Draymond either.
Nah, Draymond's an easy guy to hate.
I don't hate him, though, but it's just I don't like how he tries to argue with the ref after every call and just, you know, just always.
He does a little extra.
He's a little too much, too extra. I don't say too much, but a little too extra.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I don't like him. Other than that, though. This finals, I don't know who's going to win it this year. I don't even know who's going to make it out the East. You know, it's just this year.
The East, anyone could go to the finals. Anyone.
Cavs.
If I had to choose someone, it would be the Cavs. It could be the Heat.
Of course, if you had to choose someone, of course, it's going
to
be
the
Cavs.
But, I mean, it's easy to pick the Cavs. Why not go for someone else?
But they barely won against the Pistons. Like the Pistons really gave them some trouble.
Like, I really want to see the Raptors go to the conference finals this year and play the Cavs. Like, that would be a great series, in my opinion.
I want to at least see the Raptors make to the second round.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time they
– Yeah. The round.
They can't deal with Paul.
Paul George is back.
I remember them saying something last night about the Raptors, too, saying, like, they haven't won a playoff game in, like, franchise history or something like that. But that's not true. But the Hornets actually have not won a playoff game since 2002.
Really?
You know that? Yeah.
Really?
Because remember last year when they got swept by the Cavs in the first round? Hornets?
Yeah, I think it was the Hornets.
Yeah, they haven't won a playoff game since 2002. So that's 14 years since a playoff win.
Hopefully they can irk one out in Charlotte. You know, playing in Miami is tough, but. We'll see.
The Hornets are just a young team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still developing.
They got some really good pieces on that team.
So are the Pistons. For some reason, I don't know why, I like the Pistons so much, but I actually really like them. They have a nice team. They have Drummond, who leads the league in rebounds.
He's a rebound machine.
They got Reggie. Caldwell Pope.
Yeah, he's nice. Morris.
Is that one Markeith? Yeah, that's Markeith.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris. They got a nice team.
They really do.
And I like their young guys, too. Spencer Dinwiddie, who doesn't get a lot of burn. I like him a lot. He went to Colorado. He's from SoCal.
He's pretty nice.
Yeah. And then Stanley Johnson, too. Did y'all see Stanley playing D on LeBron? he's actually kind of like bodying LeBron a little bit. Yeah.
I like that.
Stanley Johnson's really big.
Yeah, he really does have that prime body.
Yeah,
though.
He really has that brawn. Like, did you see the video?
No.
The game? Wow. You should. I'll show it to you. It's on House of Highlights, but he was really, like, bodying LeBron. Like LeBron was trying to push him and stuff, wasn't even moving.
I like that.
Wow.
I like that. LeBron needs to get thrown around a little bit.
A little bit, but by a rookie who's only, like, 19,
hey, man.
20?
Hey, man.
Wow. Wow. That was actually very impressive. I was actually very like impressed to see that because Stanley's also from SoCal and I've seen him like around a lot. So for him to even be playing in his first playoff game and you know doing that, locking up LeBron a little bit, shows that he has a ways to go in this league.
Yeah, he does, but I think he'll develop into a really great player.
Hopefully, man, because this rookie year,
I feel it's been like up and down year for him.
Yeah, but it's like that for everybody's first year, you know, because it's just a rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to do in a few years? Do you think that they're going to be a playoff team and be a force to be reckoned with? Because they got a lot of talent.
Every year, I really think the Timberwolves are going to, you know, make that step forward.
Because they did beat the Warriors, you know. Hey, they did beat the Warriors at home.
They got us on an off night. You know, 9 out of 10 games, Warriors are 10, blowing them out.
You 100% sure about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very certain.
All right, so it was just an off night?
It was just an off night.
I hope so.
Just like when we lost to the Bucks.
Just like when we lost to the
Lakers. After that back-to-back, after going triple overtime back-to-back.
And when we lost to the Lakers.
I think they just want to let Kobe win his last game against the Warriors.
You think so?
Probably.
Nah.
You never know.
So how you feel about them beating the Bulls record with 73 wins?
I mean, honestly, I have never been a really giant basketball fan until I came to college. Like, I really started, like, becoming a basketball fan. Like, I've been a Warriors fan, always rooted for them, but, like, never really followed it until now. And I really think that it's an amazing accomplishment. Like, not many teams can go 81 games and lose single digits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have single-digit losses.
That is very, very tough.
I mean, it's an 81-game season. Like
82, I believe.
Or 82, right?
Yeah. I mean, you good, though.
Yeah.
What was their record, their final record, the Warriors?
73-9.
73-9? Wow. They barely did that, but they did that, though. They won 73.
I think they were really going for it all year. Like, everyone was talking about it for, like, the last couple of months. Like, oh, my God, the chase for 73. Like, I think it really got in the Warriors' heads a little bit towards, like, the mid part of March when they kind of stumbled. But I think they really finished the season strong.
Yeah, yeah. At the end, it definitely got to them.
Because I think if they wouldn't have won that game, that last game against the Grizzlies, I really think it would have put them in a bad place.
You think so?
Their confidence would have been pretty low.
You think so?
I don't know. I'm just happy that they are where they are right now.
It took them 40 years.
Game two tonight, baby. Game two tonight. Let's go.
Is it going to be a blowout or is it going to be a close game?
I expect a closer game. I expect James to, you know, do a little better this time. But I don't know. You know, if the Warriors play their game and if Curry doesn't play and mm-hmm. the Warriors still play their game, I still think they could beat them. It might be a little closer, though, if Curry doesn't play.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Warriors. They know how to adjust when, like, Curry's not getting off. Because then you guys start setting more plays up for Clay, more open shots, more spot-up shots off screens for Clay. And then that opens everything up. And then if Clay's not hitting, then...
They know how to make well with what they got, you know? They use what they have to their advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Steve Kerr is a great coach.
He is, but I'm telling you guys, don't underestimate the Spurs. I have a feeling that they might make some noise. They might. I don't know. Pop is very smart. Very, very smart coach. So I don't know. I have a feeling that the Spurs might do something this year in the playoffs.
I mean, if they think about how fitting it would be if they won, you know, like Tim Duncan going out with the ring. Maybe Ginobili retires. Pop follows, you know.
Nah, Pop's not gonna follow because Tony's still gonna be there for a little bit. Tony's only like 33. Tony's still young, kind of in the league. I mean, 33. Like, that's like getting old. But
like,
that's
see, like, I feel like Tony Parker now, like he's like a forgotten point guard. Like he's in like the mid tier as far as point guards are concerned.
That's just because he's getting old now. But for the Spurs, I mean, he's still like unguardable. He still gets his layups, his mid range pull up jumpers.
Oh yeah. Tony nice.
Still got it. So, like I said, Spurs are just watch out for them because, like, them too, they're also pretty stacked too from top to bottom, you know. You got a whole bunch of vets on the team who've been playing, how long together?
David West, they got, Aldridge, they got Matt Aldridge Bonner.
Yeah, Aldridge is a great pickup. You got Tim Duncan, Ginobili, Tony right there, big three.
Danny Green.
Plus Kawhi. Who's their leading scorer? Oh. And he won Defensive Player of the Year.
I really like Kawhi Leonard. He's a solid player.
Yeah, no one can really hate on Kawhi. Kawhi really just goes out there and just plays basketball.
He really does. He's a very quiet.
He just does his job, you know. Locks up, you know, does whatever the coach wants to do.
He will lock up. I think he could lock up anyone in the NBA.
You think so?
Pretty much.
Because they say the same thing about Draymond, but Draymond didn't.
I don't know if Draymond could lock up anyone just because, like, I remember the Mozgov was going off on him last finals when he was guarding him.
Everyone has a game where, like, you get hit a couple times. That's basketball, you know. Sometimes the ball's just falling for the other person, like, you know. The ball doesn't always bounce your way, but that's how it is sometimes. Everybody gets scored on. Every defender. Like, I'm pretty sure Kawhi's had bad games where people got off on him. Not too many, like Draymond, but it happens, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm a big fan of Kawhi, too. Great two-way player. The only thing I just don't like about him is how quiet he is.
Yeah, you wish he was more of an outgoing superstar, you know, but he's
like,
not.
Like, just just look like you're having fun out there at least, you know. Don't
don't act like it's your job only, you know.
Yeah, like don't make this look like you're having a bad time, like you're, you know, like you're forced to do this or something. Like, look like you're out there and enjoying life, you know. He's just out there, it's just not saying a word, same facial expression. Like, even if I tried to do that, I don't think I could. Like, I wouldn't last.
Like, yeah. See, I think that's the real difference.
Show emotion.
I can't.
I don't know how people can't show emotion, though, sometimes.
I really can't see how someone plays like that. Because I'm really trying to imagine myself doing that. There's no way.
See, I think that's the difference with the Warriors. If you look at Steph, Clay, Draymond, they all look like they're having a great time out there.
They're having fun out there. That's why they're doing good. They're just having fun.
They're so relaxed, so loose. Like, it's just, like, natural to them.
And that's all the game of basketball is. Like, play your game out there and just have fun, you know? That's all it is. That's all it is. Play your game, have fun at the end of the day. You know, even though it is a business, they're getting paid for it. They're professional athletes trying to win. At the end of the day, they're just having fun.
Yeah. That's their hobby, you know? Yeah. It's what they know as a kid. Ball's life,
guys,
right?
Yeah, ball's life. You guys are all professionals, just enjoying the game, having fun, enjoying being in the league, you know? Because they don't know how many people would want to be in their shoes, you know? How much of a blessing that is. Because I finally have people that's the same age as me in the league, you know?
That you were close to, you know? No, kind
of. I don't think I have anybody that's really close that's in the league. Like that, but this coming up season I will, though. Like, in the next couple of years, I'm gonna know a lot of people that's like who I kind of grew up with a little bit that's gonna be in the league. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. It's not like I'm gaining anything from it.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, I'm always blessed to play the game. I'm always thankful. So yeah. Kawhi should just show that a little bit more.
So how you guys think DU is going to do next year with you two leading the team?
You know? Honestly, I mean, I always kind of say this every year, but I feel like this coming up year, like, we can actually be really good. We got a lot of potential because I think we have
You guys had a lot of new players this year.
Yeah, we did. And the thing about that is we have a lot of, like, those same players are coming back. We have a lot of returners. That's a good part about it. And our coaches it's looking like they're doing a good job of recruiting. I think we just signed a freshman, and I think we're about to have a wing sign here that's actually pretty good. So once we get those two here, all we need is like a big.
We do need a big man.
But, I mean, they're actually doing a good job of recruiting big mans too. Like, they're actually trying real hard to recruit one. So,
like, Josh is a great player, but I mean, I don't see him playing the five.
I mean, he's like, he's my height, a five, you know? Like, yeah. Of course he's not a five. I don't even play the five, but.
Yeah. But that he's the tallest player we got.
That's what I'm saying. That's why
you gotta make do with what you have, you know?
That's why we're trying, because once we get a big, then that's
all we need. Josh, how much do you want to play the four?
So bad. That's a nice position right there.
The four for you?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't mind. Yeah, because
you could easily
five,
be a stretch
like,
four.
Defensively puts us in a disadvantage.
It really does.
It puts you at an advantage though on offense. That's the good part about being a five.
But I could still cook their fours, so that's why I'm not really.
Oh, for real? You can just cook anybody
I'm
like
not
that.
Really worried about that.
I used the best player on the team, but I forgot you used the GOAT. This the GOAT right next to me. But yeah, once we get if we do get a big, that's all we're really missing. If we get a big, we'll be fine.
And the coaches are probably trying really, really hard to find a big right now, huh?
Yeah, we're trying hard. It's just hard to find a decent one because, like, you know, most bigs just go D1.
Most good bigs go D1.
Yeah, not even good bigs. If you're, like, decent, you know, with just good hands, good feet, good footwork, they'll take you.
Yeah.
So that's why it's hard for D2s, especially, like, you know, like mid-major D2s like us to, like, get a big. So we're working on it, but if not, I feel like we'll still be fine. We got a lot of returners. We're, like, running our system right now in the offseason, so.
Looking good?
Yeah, so, like, once we run it, like, next year, when everyone knows it, we're going to be fine. We got shooters everywhere.
We do have some great shooters on Dominican.
And everyone's just going to get better next year, too.
And you guys, I think the chemistry will develop, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that much team chemistry in a lot of your games this year.
Really?
I didn't notice.
It's actually good to hear from someone that was actually, like, you know, on the outside. I actually want to hear a little about it. Like, what did you see out there?
You guys were a pretty good defensive team. I'm not going to lie. Like,
you think so?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you guys really play man-to-man defense really well.
Yeah.
And I feel like on offense, you guys were a little lost sometimes. You didn't know what to do with the ball. Like, it was just Rio running around, passing, and then he'd get the ball back, pass again to Matt, and then he'd get doubled, pass the ball, and then you'd have to shoot with, like, 1 second left on the clock and just throw up a crazy shot.
That was kind of true. That happened a few times.
I saw it a couple of times. That was, like, a really, really thing that I noticed. And then JR over here, I mean, he grinds it out in the paint down there, but, like, sometimes it was just, like, he couldn't do it himself. Like, he would get old boards, and still, like, hard for him to finish just because, you know, he's got two bigger guys than him on him. So it's just, like.
But the reason why we, like, ran our offense like that was just because our system, like, our coaches don't really want us taking a early shot, like, if it's early in the shot clock, because, I mean, if you missed, then it's like, dang, you just gave up a possession, and then, you know, they get back, probably get a transition bucket or something, you know what I'm saying?
But the way I see it is, if you're open, let it fly.
Yeah, of course. That's basketball 101 right there. That's from preschool. Everyone knows that. If you're open, of course, go ahead, pull your trigger. But the thing about, like, our offense is, like, if we get too early of a shot, especially since we're undersized, it's going to be hard for us to rebound. And then if we take an early shot and then we don't get the rebound, you know, that's easy transition buckets for other teams, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really the only reason why.
No, but I really feel like this year you guys added some really, really solid pieces to the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rio, Seth.
I like Seth. I like Rio. Yeah,
those are some great pieces to
great
add.
Great players.
So once we add at least just one more, maybe two more, find the missing pieces, I feel like we're going to be a force to be reckoned with, because a lot of teams in our league actually are losing a lot of seniors. So
it's going to be – the PacWest is going to be a lot more open next year.
Mm-hmm.
So the teams that were really, really good this year aren't going to be as good.
Baptist is still going to be good because they still got their best player coming back.
How about Azusa?
Azusa's always pretty solid
every year. They're good at every sport.
And who else is in our league that's actually good? HPU is not probably going to be that good. I feel like we're going to be up there this year, man.
You think you can get a top seed?
Mm-hmm. We just got to work hard. It's this offseason, everyone just got to buy in, and then we'll be fine. But, all right, it looks like my show is coming to a close. This has been a great show. Good I appreciate show. You guys. Yeah. Yeah, this was a great show.
I'm glad I could finally come on here. Man. You've been asking me for...
Yeah, I've been asking you for, what,
a couple month? Months, bro.
Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for the invite, Rev.
This is my last show. I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss this. I had a lot of fun doing this. Everyone, just have a great Monday. All you college people, keep pushing out there. High school people is listening. All my people back home, y'all keep pushing. You know, it's going to pay off in the end. You're listening to Above the Rim with DJ Slim on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Ooh, yeah.
Everyone, have a great Monday. Peace.